Hello, my name is Jason. I'm president of the NFB of Pennsylvania Capital Chapter. Welcome to our state convention in Harrisburg. You are listening to White Canes Connect.
Hey there, PA Federationists. Welcome to White Canes Connect, presented by the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania. My name is David Goldstein. I am the treasurer of the Keystone Chapter. And with me, as always, is co-host Lisa Bryant. Lisa, how are you today?
I am great, David, and I am so excited. This is our first in a series of pre-convention blitz podcasts.
Yes, and got a lot of great things lined up for you. And tonight, we are basically going to explore the host city of this year's state convention, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
We're talking with Jason Polanski. He's the president of the Capital Chapter, host of the convention, along with Tim McCarthy, who is vice president.
Yes, so why don't we get right to the interview and hear what they have to say all about Harrisburg and the Capital Chapter. Jason and Tim, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so guys, congratulations hosting the convention this year. Jason, why don't we start with you? Because I know that you are fairly new, if I remember, maybe a year or two into being president of the chapter. So why don't you just give folks a little reminder of how you came to be president over the chapter?
Yes, absolutely. So just to introduce myself, so my name is Jason Polanski. I am 25 years old. I grew up in Frederick County, Maryland, in the northern part of Frederick County, a little town called Thurmont. So I've kind of been in the NFB for a while, was involved in the Maryland affiliate and the student division there a little bit. And then I, in a nutshell, you know, I graduated from high school. I went to an adult training center, one of the NFB's training centers, the Louisiana Center for the Blind. Graduated from there in 2015. And then I kind of made my way up into the Harrisburg area because of my college. I always kind of wanted to go to Messiah. And so I got in. I heard about the college. I went to a college fair and I was just really impressed with it. The program. So I went in for study business and I really liked the school and graduated in 2019 and just decided to kind of, the chapter was just starting to form kind of during my junior and senior years at Messiah. And then, you know, I kind of decided I wanted to stay in the area. I had, you know, more friends in the area and, you know, just a little bit, just more, things to do than there were, you know, in kind of the area of Maryland where I grew up. So I decided I'd, you know, get a place in the area and get more involved in the chapter. And then, at the end of 2019, Anna, the former president, asked me if I would, step up and do it. So I said I would. And so, yeah, it's been interesting kind of trying to be in charge and being president during COVID and, you know, just through all these times. But I think things are on the up and up. You know, we're really looking forward to having our convention in a few weeks.
Yeah. And I am sure that is no small task, but you sound like you're up for it. Yes. So, and we'll circle back and talk more specifically about, you know, what that looks like for you. Tim.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, my name is Tim McCarthy. I am one of the vice presidents for the Capital Chapter. I also work with Emily with the legislative liaison group as well, the advocacy part of that. I just turned 40 in July, so I'm a little bit older and I grew up here originally in the Harrisburg area and started going to school up here, then had a crazy notion of leaving the area and moved to Virginia for a while. So after a long, long stay down there, about 10 years, working, going to school, doing lots of fun stuff down there, I decided to come back up here for work. And then it was for my wife. We kind of talked and she convinced me. We kind of had a long conversation over coffee and said, am I moving and staying in Virginia or am I coming to Pennsylvania? She won because of my mother-in-law and I moved back up here. And I got more involved. I wanted to get involved with the NFB chapter here close to us for a while. And then I found it some information and got back involved. I knew about the NFB from a long time ago and was, I would say, moderately involved in my youth and but got more serious as I got older.
Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of curious. What kind of work do you do? And then I'll same thing for Jason. I'm just kind of curious on what you guys do.
Well, I am primarily I get to be the fun official role is I'm the stay at home dad.
Okay.
So I do a lot of advocacy and writing work.
Okay. I mean, that's an important job. And, you know, there's something to having a parent home, you know, with their kids as they grow up. So that's, I don't know that I could do that though, but that is a difficult job.
Yeah. One thing I can say, no, it's not NFB related, but about 5 years ago now, I had what was considered a status seizure.
Okay.
Which is a seizure that literally lasts more than 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I have epilepsy and I had a seizure. I was in a house fire, changed a lot of things. And that after that, I had to rearrange how I do a lot of stuff with my life.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Jason, how about you? What do you, you talked about staying in the Harrisburg area. Were you able to find something that, work that you were interested in, or did you just find any job that you really didn't go to school for as so many folks do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually had an interesting career journey over the past couple of years. So I got a job with Microsoft right before I moved into the area. There was a remote job. I got it through an alum of my university. Okay. I was basically encouraged to reach out to him through the Career Center, and I got into technical recruiting. Okay. So I recruit software engineers. So that's what I was doing for Microsoft. And then it was a contract job. I was doing quite well with it. But then the pandemic, I mean, a lot of industries really took a hit. So essentially, my contract was supposed to be 18 months long, but it ended, it was essentially only a year. Okay. So I was basically laid off, if you will. And then I found it a little difficult to find the next opportunity because it was a job that normally people usually don't get when they're right out of college. Okay. Usually it requires more experience, but because of the connection that I had, they wanted to see how I would do with it. I was doing a lot with the accessibility of LinkedIn Recruiter. I was essentially got connected with who I needed to get connected to at LinkedIn and Microsoft. They were able to help me improve the accessibility of this platform so that I could use them. So I did kind of small businessy, kind of commission sales work with a company. And it didn't quite work out like I was hoping that it would. So I, in the beginning of this year, I started really looking for jobs again. And then I got back into recruiting. I did a temporary recruiting job doing call center recruiting for a little bit. And then now since July, I've been with Whole Foods doing this similar kind of work that I was doing with Microsoft. Took me a little while to find it. Somebody reached out to me on LinkedIn and, you know, I had an interview and everything. And so I recruit software engineers, solution architects, some directors of engineering, and I've gotten started on some analytics database administrators. So they're really exposing me to recruiting for a wide range of technical roles.
Oh, wow.
And it's really stressing me.
That's great. And obviously Whole Foods, no small animal to get involved with. So
I'm just excited to hear that you can actually get a job through LinkedIn. That really does happen. Like that's pretty fantastic.
Oh yeah.
I think you're the first one that's actually shared that it really has, you know, made a connection for him. So good for you.
Wow. Right. Okay. Go ahead, Lisa. I'm sorry, you had started to ask.
Well, I was just wondering, when Tim was talking about becoming part of this chapter, I was just wondering how long have you been in the role as First Vice?
It would be about a year, okay. I would say.
Okay, yes. So you guys pretty much have been at the helm almost the same amount of time. So tell us, what has it been like planning for the state convention this year?
So it's been definitely some kind of new responsibilities, if you will, on my part. Granted, sometimes I don't know what I'm doing all the time, but I have, good people kind of keeping me in line. So I suppose that's good. Essentially, what we're doing specifically as a chapter, we're helping out so each chapter is having a basket auction. So I put together some items. We got a pretty nice basket that we're auctioning off. It's a lot of pretty much Christmassy holiday themed, some ornaments and a nice sign, like a wall hanging sign, a bottle of wine. So a lot of I think a lot of stuff that people will want. We're hoping that put together. I went to there's a Christmas shop in Gettysburg that has a lot of neat mm-hmm. items, different knickknacks. So
now, did you have to put on your fundraising hat to get those donations?
Little bit. Mm-hmm. We're also, of course, there's Thursday evening, there's a Veterans Day celebration. So we're kind of in the process of trying to get some elected officials to show up either for that or for the banquet. I'm hoping we can at least get one person. That would be would be great. Tim has a lot of connections there. So
I was gonna joke with you and ask if you got the governor to show up or not.
No, we didn't try the governor. I think that's a little bit of a
don't tempt me now.
Hey, temp.
I'm talking with Emily. I said, Emily, would you like me to at least try? You bet I would.
Yeah, I mean, I would say cool. No guts, no glory.
We'll see how that goes. Maybe in the future we'll go for that. But okay. What we did was we reached out to multiple leaders in the area, and some are just not interested. Some are not are too busy. Some are not interested, but say they're too busy. and we have a few that may be willing. There's nothing definite, but at least it was very nice because we explained what the event was for and who mm-hmm. was for, and we got some polite responses and some nice responses. I'm not mentioning any names right now because there's still lots of things going on right now with that.
Mm-hmm. So if they were to if you were to get some people that actually, when do they typically address the group? Is that at the that first day luncheon? When is that usually?
If you remember, Lisa, the lunch when they, luncheon, right? They had the congressman when we were at State College a few years ago. I forget his name. I thought his first name was Glenn, but not 100%. Remember, it was during the lunch. He just came in and, did a brief talk while we were eating lunch.
Timing wise,
we're leaning towards. There are some there's a couple in particular who have experience who were veterans. So we'd like said individual to be present for the Veterans mm-hmm. Day celebration Thursday. Mm-hmm. But if we can't get that, if we can get somebody to speak, during the banquet, I know last year in Pittsburgh, Dan Miller came. So mm-hmm. hoping to get at least one person, that would be awesome.
Yeah. How stressful has all of this been?
Not always easy to get to make happen, but.
How stressful has all this been, or has it, or has it not say, been?
I wouldn't say stressful. I would just say, as we were talking a little bit before, just adjusting
yeah.
with how everything is outside.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. all. I wouldn't call it stressful at all. It's just mm-hmm. adjusting and adapting. Mm-hmm. And some people it's easier and others it's not. It just kind of works.
That's what you have to do is blind people all the time. With anything,
right,
really.
Right. And that's well, it's the whole gamut from,
exactly.
you know, somebody that's comfortable with making a change on the fly and others who have to know every step of the way before anything, even before that first step is taken. So, yeah, it's and I'm sure just like with sighted folks, it's the same, you know, some people are just going to be gung ho and able to figure it out as they go and others don't want to do that. So, right. Yeah. So that's well, that's interesting. And you had mentioned so you were in Pittsburgh last year, Tim. Was that you that said you were in, or was that Jason? I didn't.
I was in Pittsburgh last year. Yeah, Tim. I think attended a lot of it virtually, but yes, we had a small number of people who we arrived in person in Pittsburgh. It definitely wasn't as big as this is going to be, but yes,
right.
mm-hmm. and we did decide.
Was that your first convention? Was that your first state convention?
Oh no. So in 2019 it was in Camp Hill. I was at that one. And then some of the previous ones when I was in college in state college.
Okay.
And I think Wilkes-Barre was the first Pennsylvania one
went
to.
So you
I went to plenty of Maryland ones growing up though too.
So at 25 you've been to more than me. So.
Yes, probably. So, yeah.
So that one in state college, the last one in state college was my first, and then I was also at the one in Camp Hill. And I think you were at both of those too, right, Lisa?
Camp Hill,
That was Harrisburg. So. That was the last. That was,
was
you know, okay. the one before the lockdown.
Yep. Then I was.
Yeah.
It was just across. It's just across the river from Harrisburg.
So that's why when you say Camp Hill, that drew me. Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounded like you're more involved with the veterans dinner. Are you?
Well,
you
no. Have I, a direct I would say hand I'm helping on that? Out with finding. They're looking, we're trying to find local and regional leaders with a lot of my experience. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with working with legislators and county services and people. Mm-hmm. So with the Veterans Dinner, we were trying to find someone who will be interested in wanting to work with us in presenting to the blind veterans and or their families.
Yeah.
That may sound very simple, but unfortunately it's not when trying to ask for people.
Correct.
Yeah. Because it's not just simply to all of us. Yes. It's a ceremony, mm-hmm. but unfortunately when you ask someone to, hey, would you like to speak during the ceremony? They're like, well, what else are you going to be talking about the entire conference? I was asked that once. I was like, well, there's a lot of stuff going on. I don't have the agenda right in front of me, but we just need to know. And that kind of shows you the mindset of some people and working with people and trying to ask people to get involved with stuff.
Yeah.
Others are like, yeah, let's see what we can do. I would love that. Just give us more details. Let's kind of figure something out. If we're free, we'll try to do something. Mm-hmm. So like I said, it's all kind of a work in progress right now. Nothing really definite.
Okay.
But if it happens, it's going to be great. And yes, I would go so far as write and contact the governor's office. But I'm not there yet.
Okay. You know, it's funny. I saw Emily had sent something around the other day about the event. And, you know, I'm not a veteran. You know, my dad was, and I was thinking about all these great things, all these great stories that, you know, that he, you know, told me. And I thought, oh, it'll be interesting to see these guys who are going to be there. And all the things that went on in their, you know, in their military career. Obviously, you know, some of them might not be great. You know, as my dad said to me, and he was in World War II. He said, you know, at the time, you know, I was a, you know, a fairly young kid. He was 25, 26 years old, and on his second to last mission, got shot down. He didn't, you know, he said it was scary at the time, but you know, it was also exciting. And you know, he was a POW for, you know, a little over a year, 13 months or so. And, you know, just all the stories he had, you know, from all of them. And, you know, they're not all great, but it's interesting to hear them. And it's just something so completely different. So hopefully, you know, you're able to find some folks to, you know, convey that message.
This Veterans Day is going to be very special for not just myself, but my wife and our family. My father-in-law, who passed away, was a veteran, and okay. he was larger than life, amazing guy. He worked from the ground up. He was a big guy, and he just, when he passed away, my sister-in-law had passed away within a short period of time before. He was by her side through everything, and then after she passed away, sorry if I got all teary about this.
That's okay.
His body just said, all right, it's now time for me.
Wow.
And it happened so fast. And he was a veteran. So this is definitely a big, you know, so special day for our family as well. I even said, you know, hey, if we were looking for people, he's not blind, but he would have been the one who could say, I started from nothing, did everything, and then became a executive with Rite Aid for who knows how many years.
Okay.
Wow. That? So he was one of the guys who I lovingly said inspired me a lot when I came
here. That's nice to hear that this will be a very personal sort of recognition or remembrance, I guess, is a better word for you. So thank you for sharing that. So in terms of the convention, as a whole, you know, whenever we have these different, when the national convention happens, you know, the different chapters will chime in and introduce themselves, and they'll give like this, you know, some are a little larger than others in terms of, you know, how enthusiastic they are, what they say about their state. Like they make you want, you know, to go there, you know, when they're vying for being hosts. So what do you think is going to be something that's going to stand out for those of us coming, and, you know, what's going to make this, what's going to be like the Harrisburg sort of spin on this year's convention?
I think, you know, I'm going to try to come up with a pretty, you know, grabbing, you know, a pretty good attention grabber, you know, about to, you know, talk to, you know, kind of tell people about the city of Harrisburg and et cetera. Yeah. So I know some chapters, like they'll do a video and what have you. We're not quite that technologically there yet. But I think, and, you know, also it's, you know, of course it's in a pretty convenient location. You know, there's a lot of restaurants around. It's, you know, you got, you know, obviously, I mean, so Harrisburg, I mean, we do want to make people to make sure to know that, I mean, it's like if they go outside the hotel, just to, you know, use caution, because, I mean, you're in the city. So, but there's a lot of good restaurants around.
That was going to be my question. I was looking last night and noticed within walking distance, it seemed like there's a Mexican place and a few other places that are close by. And, you know, that's, as Lisa was saying, you know, whenever we go, you know, whenever I go someplace, I remember for Washington seminar a couple of years ago, I was on the train going down thinking, oh, where can I go to try and get something that, you know, maybe Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives has been to, or something else. State College, obviously, you know, the ice cream, you know, from, you know, Penn State Creamery. You know, so it's always interesting to me to find something that's, you know, that's been, you know, recommended by somebody somewhere. And, you know, there are a few opportunities to, you know, Friday night, I guess there's, you know, you gotta get dinner somewhere because it's not part of the package. And, right. So that's, have you been to that Mexican restaurant? That's, I think it's called, El Sol or something like that.
I have.
It looked like it looked like it had a lot of good reviews. That's why I was curious. I'm thinking that sounds good as I was looking at it at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Hey, it's always good to eat that, look at places that late. So
yeah.
No, one place I would not say for dinner necessarily, but Broad Street Market.
Okay.
People love in that area. That is one of the fun places to go for breakfast, for lunch, that type of thing. So if people are walking around,
okay,
that is definitely a good place, and it's popular.
Okay. And it's within walking distance of the hotel?
It's what is considered reasonable walking distance.
Okay.
Okay. The best thing to do, especially with that hotel and all the hotels and conference areas, and that they're the front staff.
Yeah.
Is usually I can't say for everyone because that is always at one time. They're usually very good about giving recommendations.
Great.
So they are very good about saying, oh, we go here all the time, or I would recommend this place. They don't normally just say, we're going to send you to some place. There. Mm-hmm. It is fairly in a good region. Second Street, there are lots of restaurants.
Okay.
Yes.
One thing to do though is when looking at those restaurants, find out the times and see if you need to have reservations or basically a call in. Because each restaurant, it has their own, because of COVID, protocol procedure. And the last thing you want to do is go there and then find out you have to wait an hour and a half.
Right.
Be stuck down there.
Do you know if some of them are requiring proof of vaccination?
I don't know. Do you, Tim?
With many places, it is best to we're talking with Pennsylvanians. I'm sorry. I'm talking with other groups. It is good to be sure that you have masks with you. Mm-hmm. It is good if they find a place to give them a call.
Yeah.
Because that is very fluid.
Yeah.
Right now, because what we're doing now could change in a week to 2 weeks.
Right.
Right.
This is not a political channel or a political time to talk, but we are all, Harrisburg City is also in a mayoral race. So there's lots of stuff going on right now. Yeah. So, and with the businesses too, but no, there's lots of places. Broad Street Market is always one of my favorite places to talk about because there's lots of stuff there and it's culture. It's eclectic. It's fun.
Cool.
Yeah, I know. I've been there a couple of times before. I got some, some chicken corn soup and some like different. They have, it's kind of all kinds of different meats you can take home. Okay. It's kind of like a farm.
So it's different. Is it like market. Different vendors? Because to me, it sounds like Reading Terminal Market to me as you're describing it. So it sounds like you could walk around there and. Somebody wants this kind of food, you can get it. Somebody wants that kind of food, you can get it. And then you just have a general seating area where you can all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. It's one of the favorite places in the city.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's another restaurant that, on Second Street, I know, specifically that, it kind of changes names every every 6 months or every year, they kind of have a different theme. So I know it was Taste Buffalo for a while, and then it was Taste Key West. And then I think during COVID, it probably wasn't as popular. I think it was Taste Key West for a while, but now it's Taste Americana. So especially, I think, have really good, hot dogs and, milkshakes and that kind of thing, it's supposed to be good if you're so that's an option.
I hope they're not changing their decor every time they change their name, because that could get pretty expensive.
I think they probably do to some extent. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure how they I've only been there a couple of times, but I mean, of course, Second Street, it during certain times of the day it's really busy, and there's a little bit of a bar scene there, so I mean you'd Just be careful, is what I would say. If you're not familiar with the area, which most people won't be, definitely I wouldn't say probably just not the best idea to go out completely alone.
Yeah.
But if you go with at least, one or two other people who, have your back, I think it should be okay. And I also wanted to bring up a technology that I really enjoy using when I'm out and about walking, through the city, I mean, I don't live in the city. I live in Mechanicsburg in the suburbs. But, you know, if I do go into Harrisburg City or what have you, there's technology that I like to use is a smartphone app called Aira. Mm-hmm. And I have it on my phone. I have a set of Bluetooth headphones, aftershocks, bone conduction ones, mm-hmm. so I can, you know, so my ears are open, so I'm, you know, not interfering with, you know, my the other sounds around me. And I have it on like a, put my phone on a little lanyard, and they can see, you know, like as I'm walking, they can, you know, see, you know, what's around me, describe things to me, you know, direct me a little bit if I'm, you know, a little bit of a pinch, or if I just, you know, it, I'm a very independent blind person as far as, you know, traveling and getting around and, you know, it's in a training center, but sometimes it's just nice to have that kind of peace of mind. You know, if you don't know exactly where you're going and, you know, what's, you know, helping, even if it, you get yourself most of the way there, you know, maybe you use another app like WeWalk or Good Maps Outdoors, mm-hmm. That just came out. It was Seeing Eye GPS, you know, something like that to help you get close to it. But then, you know, it doesn't always take you right in front of the door.
Right.
You might be one or two doors up or down. So it's nice to have, you know, that sighted assistance in your pocket. That way you don't have to necessarily go up to a stranger. You know, you don't know how they're going to direct you. Whereas, you know, if you, I think, I mean, you can pay for, you know, 30 minutes for $30 if you want. I have a little bit more than that.
Okay.
But, you know, it's, if you're, these people are trained. The agents, they're trained, they have a dashboard, they kind of know how to describe things, you know, in a way that makes sense to, you know, blind people. So right. that's pretty sweet to take advantage of. If you can find somebody in your group, if you decide to go out somewhere and, you know, you have one person who has Aira who can kind of take the lead and direct everybody else, and that's probably the most ideal.
Right. That's, we had just used the Keystone chapter just had our first in-person meeting in 18 months, I guess it was. And it was at the Penn Museum. Mm. We're meeting at the Penn Museum. And because the Penn Museum is on the campus of the University of Pennsylvania, we were able to go through the museum afterwards using Aira. And it was just just outstanding. You know, I always like to take, when I go places, I always like to take what I call blind selfies. And, you know, I honestly don't know how they're going to come out when I do it. But it was great to have that because, you know, I'm listening to this person telling me, okay, you know, tilt the camera down a little bit and, you know, move a step to the left or a step to the right. And then I got these, you know, these great images of, you know, me and whatever I was standing in front of, you know, as well as able to, In times past, I've used things like Seeing AI or, you know, Envision, and, you know, that's also easy to do. But, you know, when you have somebody that's sitting there live on the phone with you, you know, maybe, you know, as I'm walking and waving my phone around, waiting for my phone to read something to me, you know, the person who I'm on with would, you know, immediately see, oh, it's down, you know, move it to the lower left and I'll be able to read it. And then they'll take the image and stuff like that. So yeah, I can attest at least inside the museum. And I've used it, you know, in and around the home because you do get that, you know, the free 5 minutes a day.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. Even if you don't have it, it might be enough to, 5 minutes might be enough to get you
5 minutes,
get you in the door of wherever you want to go,
get you where you need to go. It just depends. But yeah,
that's a really good tip, Jason. Thanks for that. So I wonder, either one of you, what about ride share? What's it like getting a Lyft or Uber?
Yeah. So, it really depends on the time of day. I will say Uber is known to jack up the prices. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the evenings especially. So, I mean, last weekend I actually went into Harrisburg for a concert, and you know, it took, you know, when I was heading back home afterward, it was probably around 11, and I was trying Lyft and trying Uber, and I think the Uber price said it would have been $40, 45 or something, and the Lyft was, you know, 22.
Oh my God.
So mm-hmm. I ended up going with the Lyft. I think Lyft, they're not known to jack up the prices as right. much. But it honestly depends on what driver
but
you
they
get.
Are available. Cause my concern was, you know, do you get them as quickly as, you know, we're in Philadelphia. And you know, you can get usually you can get a ride within minutes. And I was just wondering,
yeah,
is it
Harrisburg area? can be pretty good with Uber and Lyft.
Okay.
As I was saying, the prices for Uber can be a little bit higher during mm-hmm. peak times and what they call their surge pricing. But yeah, they definitely can be a little bit higher. They're fairly accessible. Mm-hmm. My personal experience for the Harrisburg area and this whole area in Camp Hill and Mechanicsburg is I definitely, once I get the ride, sometimes I'm already on my profile. I do let them know passenger blind, yeah, passenger right. has white cane because they will, if you do not let them know, they will not find you sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can message them through the app and that's what I usually do too, and say, hey, you know, I'm wearing a bag, or I usually wear a canvas bag on my shoulder that has, you know, a spare cane. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like the Boy Scout, right? I try to be prepared. So, you know, I always have a spare folded cane with me because you just never know if the cane breaks or if you accidentally drop it down the sewer grate. You don't want to be you know, that happens to people. Or if you accidentally car runs over it. So just carry all my stuff. I just find it helpful to have, you know, a canvas bag with everything I need for the day. And, you know, so that's, so I say, you know, and I say, you know, I have a canvas bag on my shoulder. I'm wearing I have a white cane, and you know, that usually they find me pretty.
Yes, I definitely well. Say if you're looking for transit in the Harrisburg area, it would be, unless you want to have the bus experience, you know, the public transit experience, which I mm-hmm. would not recommend if you've never been here. I would recommend Uber or Lyft. There are some taxi companies, but with COVID and everything, I would not recommend them at all because the timing is horrible. There's no way to track anything, and communication between the driver, you, and the dispatch can mm-hmm. be what I politely call indefinitely waiting, which is 5 minutes to an hour and 30 minutes, and the driver may eventually find you.
Mm. Right. So, and that's the thing too, I'm guessing with the cab company, you're talking to a dispatcher, the dispatcher is then talking to the driver, as opposed to with Uber or Lyft, you're communicating once you're connected, you're communicating directly with the driver. So it just makes things a lot easier.
And it's more accessible and more friendly for people who cannot see.
Right.
Such as ourselves and myself.
Right.
The cab companies, it's not accessible, and they're not necessarily blind accessible friendly. I've had my experiences there. So ride sharing, and they will have peak times because of pricing and say, hey, everyone's using it, everyone's out, so the prices will go up, but you just kind of have to work with it. Wait 30 minutes and it might go down.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff in the area in Harrisburg. There's Hershey, there's Lingolstown, there's lots of malls, people like certain malls if they want to go out, and the concierge and the front desk would be able to help them out with what they want to do.
I mean, I feel like during state convention though, you're honestly like, you're pretty busy with the convention, so there's not a whole lot of time for that. But I mean, it's before or after, you know.
Again, I'm thinking just that, you know, most of the time it's probably just going to be Friday night that's, you know, that's really available if you're going to do any of that. Now, I before we move on to something else, I just have to ask, who did you see when you went to the concert, Jason?
I saw a band called From Ashes to New. They're actually kind of local. They're from the Lancaster area, and they're on the national scene. They kind of do, I described them as like a electronic hip-hop-ish hard rock kind of feel. Kind of like a amped up Linkin Park or like a Papa Roach, if you're familiar with that the kind of music. POD maybe would be a comparison. So I've always loved them. They've been around, kind of started getting on the scene around 2014 2015, and I've always liked the music. I like kind of a little I guess some people say a little like I'm a little nerdy with like my rock music, and I like just their sound and finding unique bands. You know, I'm personally not really into you know, a lot of this auto-tune stuff that's on the radio. It's just not my thing. You know, it's to each their own, I suppose. Right. But I like their style, and you know, they saw they were going to be in town. It was at the Midtown Art Center, it's called. So they have a lot of neat shows there, a lot of good bands that are going to be there coming up next month too, that I'm going to try to go to at least a
couple. Was the second thing I did after I looked around for restaurants, to look to see if there was anybody in town on that Friday night. And there was a band or two that I knew, but I don't think they were on the Friday night. You know, I like alternative, and you know, I thought, oh, that'd be cool to go see, you know, I'm actually going to be missing over that weekend. Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness is going to be in Philly, which I would have probably gone to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he was in Harrisburg. Actually, I think he's in Harrisburg like next week or something. If he's there, I can't remember, because I also look to see when he's in New York and whatnot, but interesting to know. And again, I'll go revisit that now that we know a little bit more about Lyft and Uber and stuff like that.
I think Harrisburg University has a lot of I think Cold War Kids is going to be in town pretty soon. I think Harrisburg University, okay. I think this coming Friday, I actually have something else going on. I'm actually headed to Philly next weekend or Bucks County to see Joe and Marsha Drenth to learn how to operate the sound system. I'm going to be doing some of that during the sessions. I'm excited for that.
Oh, so you've been recruited.
Yes, I have. Been voluntold. Yes.
But that's good though, because you know, they do a lot of the heavy lifting, so it's good to have someone kind of help share that load. I wanted to make sure that you both, if you don't have anything, I wanted to make sure they had a chance to talk about the chapter, other things that are going on besides state convention or things that might be upcoming. I don't know if we really did talk about how the chapter kind of knitted more together during the pandemic and how that might have even helped with the convention planning. But anything else you guys want to share about the chapter and your efforts beyond your state convention planning?
We've been kind of talking about trying to do some kind of a White Cane awareness. It didn't quite work out like we were hoping last month, but you know, we're kind of toying around with the idea of doing something in, either in Harrisburg or in the suburbs. Tim has kind of been on that a little bit.
One thing with the White Cane Walk, we were trying to organize, but with COVID and kind of getting everyone together, a lot of areas you can only do you're not supposed to do large walks, hybrid walks, small walks is whether.
Not like we don't have a ton of people per se. Anyway,
but yeah, even with that, it's all in this, is the unfortunate, you know, COVID gray areas of things. My wife, my sister passed away, had CF. So we're very familiar with the CF walk. Mm-hmm. In the area, and we had to adapt to that considerably over the last years. My mother-in-law, the dear Bubby of the family, was a rock star because she organized like 15 to 20 people in her neighborhood to just do a walk. Wow. But going back to the White Cane Walk, one thing that it did, we were not able to really do a full functioning walk in the area, but we got a lot of awareness out in the area by just talking with people. Which is, to me, totally awesome. It didn't have to be big, but it got a lot of people's attention, because a lot of businesses, when I reached out to them and said, hey, would you mind that we come and walk around this area and we stop here? Yeah. There's a coffee shop or there's a pizza place. Would you mind if a couple people just stopped in on this day or in the future while we're walking? We're 90% of us. Most of us, if not all of us, will have white canes or service dogs. That would be great. Yeah. Just, you know, let me know and shoot me an email, send me a text, whatever. And I'm like, okay. That to me was the exciting part, which was it didn't get to really happen, but it's something that we can look forward to and really shoot for in the future.
You play your cards right, Tim. That's building grounds for, you know, just you're cultivating relationships. So, you know, sometimes, like you said, you know, maybe that particular event didn't pan out, but the fact that you're establishing these relationships, that's huge.
One thing that my wife and I were excited about when we went out to talk with people or reach out to people was they got excited too, mm-hmm. was businesses got excited that we said, would you mind us stopping by?
Yeah.
And that's how we approach it. So we're going to be walking this area, small group of us. Would you mind with my wife and I and some of our friends from the Capital chapter stop by? Oh no, that'd be great. Just let us know. Or hey, maybe we'll do something next year. Just let us know and we'll maybe prepare something. I'm like, okay. But yeah, the excitement and the interest. And that's something I'm happy about in the last mm-hmm. year, because 2 years ago, 5 years ago, there in the area was what? Wait, what? Forgive the phrase, there's blind people that live around here. I'm being serious. That's really, yeah. When I moved back up here, it was, wait, there's people, blind people who use canes around. Yeah. And that was sadly, and there are in the area, but unfortunately the awareness in the community was not necessarily as large mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 5, 6, 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now it's a little bit more when you kind of talk with people more, show up even more, even with COVID happening, people are, the awareness factor is what sometimes is the best step forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, it does. COVID definitely has kind of affected, I guess, if you will, the blind community, just access to, you know, various, you know, essentials and, you know, medical care, things like that. You know, it's access to education, especially for blind students, has been a big issue that, you know, we've been dealing with pretty much nationally. So, you know, it's always just good to have awareness, you know, no matter kind of, you know, what you're, how you see things, what have you. You know, even, you know, I remember during the beginning of the pandemic, you know, a lot of blind people, you know, kind of rely on things like Instacart and Shipt, mm-hmm. and, you know, those services were, you know, everybody, even, you know, the demand for them was increasing, even just, you know, some people who do not have disabilities who maybe just didn't really want to go out were using it. So it was a little bit difficult. I had to, you know, rely on some friends to help me out, you know, a little bit in the beginning of the pandemic, just to, you know, hey, you know, my neighbor, you know, hey, do you mind picking up this, you know, just some of that kind of thing. It's, you know, it definitely has changed all of our lives.
Right.
And kind of raised awareness and, you know, all kinds of ways.
Right. And it made it, you know, like you're saying, you know, everybody else didn't want to go out, whether they're sighted or not. So it just made it tougher for those who normally order yeah. through, like you say, you know, it just, you know, because we found that as well. And, you know, trying to limit the amount of times, you know, my wife would go out, you know, I said, look, limit, you know, pick one day and just, that's the day that you try and go and get everything. Otherwise, anything that you can get it through, you know, whoever, Amazon, Target, whatever, where you, right. you know, you're just right. getting it shipped right here and we don't have to worry about it. So yeah, mm-hmm. That's it. How about as far as, besides the White Cane Walk and White Cane Awareness, anything else going on, doing any kind of membership drives, any kind of fundraisers coming up? Do you have anything else in the fire? Or
yes, we've always kind of been doing for the past, for a little while now, past a year almost, we've kind of had an ongoing Panera gift card fundraiser. Okay. So $25 gift cards to Panera. You can find it on our chapter website. You know, so it's... So that's kind of an ongoing thing. That's about it right now.
Okay. Explain that Panera gift card.
Yeah. So basically if you donate, so we bought Panera gift cards that were 20 each, but we're selling them for 25 okay. each. So basically it's a e-gift card that you can show when you go to Panera.
Okay. So the value on them is 25. So you... Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's, I kind of remember seeing that going back about, I guess it was during the last holiday season. I remember seeing something yes, going around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's still kind of ongoing. Yeah. We haven't sold all okay. yet. So it's,
Okay. And is it an easy URL to give, or maybe once we get done recording?
If you look up, even if you just Google Capital Chapter, Panera fundraiser, NFB, you know, something okay. like that, it should come up.
Okay, and it's on the NFB Pennsylvania website?
I think I okay. saw yes. it, yeah.
I'll put the link yes. In the show notes for that, because that's, you know, that's something oh, great. That's, okay. I know that some of the links there, you know, we had gotten our, you know, to our chapter page there to just be nfbp.org/keystonechapter, and why they, you know, hopefully, you know, as they reconfigure the site, you know, everybody, you know, so yours hopefully will be nfbp.org/capital chapter. There's always going to be those people like me. Is that an O or an A?
Right.
So, but at least it'll be a lot easier than, you know, this string of, you know, how it is now for the most part. So yeah, we'll find the link for that and put that on there, because that's, you know, a lot of folks go to Panera and, you know, to me, a no-brainer, because it's helping you guys out. You're not really, to me, fundraising is easy when, you know, somebody is getting something in return, but yet they're still helping out, you know, the organization by doing it. You know, it's, you know, you're not giving any more money than you need to. Your $25 is coming back in food from Panera. So it's, yeah. You know, so that's a nice thing. So thank you. So yeah, so we'll put that in. That's a good thing to do.
Great.
And I can say this one thing, that with fundraising, because of the pandemic, everyone's kind of adjusted and adapting. And I think that's one thing everyone started to gradually step into more and learn, saying we feel a little bit more comfortable doing more things, giving more things.
Right.
So I see a little bit that kind of just across the board in a broader spectrum. So we have hopes for in the next year.
Right. And it's definitely, COVID has changed how, you know, how we've done things, you know, in our chapter. You know, if you know Harriet, you know, she always has M&Ms on her, and, you know, during COVID, you can't, she's not selling M&Ms because, you know, people aren't buying them. You can't go out and go face to face. And, you know, so we had to change everything, you know, everything that we usually did, you know, was a, you know, a face-to-face event, whether it was that or the Barnes and Noble, you know, gift wrapping, where it was always a big thing for us. And, you know, that's how we came up with, you know, the talent show that we started last year, and, you know, 2 years in a row have been very successful, but we needed it to be, because it's basically been our only source of fundraising. You know, we've done some small things, you know, with t-shirts, but, you know, yeah, it's, everybody's had to come up with a new way. And again, not just, you know, not just blind folks and blind organizations, anybody. Everybody. Yeah. So that's good. Sorry, Lisa, did you have?
No, I was just concurring. I agree. You have to be pretty creative these days, which is a good thing. You know, it forces us to think outside. It's funny, I was going to say think outside the box.
Yeah, no, that's about
but,
right. Yeah.
But you know, it's funny that we're on Zoom, so we're in boxes a lot.
Lisa, one thing.
Think outside the braille.
There we go.
Yeah, I like that one.
One thing that feels great about now, or maybe, you know, not to everyone, but slow and steady. My wife and I's favorite phrase is slow and steady. Everything, you know, everything is better.
Slow and steady wins a race.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Is that we used to, for the longest time, many of us thought about day to day or hour to hour, day to day, when the pandemic hit. We had to rearrange and restart. Some things were easier, some things were the same, but it was all different. So who knows what the next day was. We're not out of it. Mm-hmm. We're not out of there, but we're not, some of us can start thinking, okay, we're not thinking day to day or hour to hour. We're now trying to think week to week, to next month. One thing that my wife and I, we're of course in that home stretch, almost going to have our third child in December. So we're like, yay, everything's going faster now. But we were saying, wow, the month is going quickly now. Mm-hmm. And for last year, when the pandemic started, it was, wow, the week just ended, the next week. So no, I'm being serious. We had to adjust and change, and everything was different. Now we can actually say, what do we want to do, or what do we want to try to do more? Not just as a chapter, but as ourselves.
Yeah.
Next month. And that's exciting. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, it's exciting. It's totally awesome.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So now it's what else can we do more of if we weren't able to do it last year, next year, or as the year ends? So that is I think one of the biggest steps many of us have made, which is now we can start trying to think month to month, or next 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a little liberating. Will we get to meet your lovely family at convention?
I will be there. My wife should be there in parts of it. But unfortunately, with all the medical stuff with our son, we will not be having him there.
Okay.
My, gotcha. Yeah, he has he has a severe form of epilepsy and he is immune compromised. So that is not kind of the setting.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, no offense to anyone.
None taken, you know.
That is not the setting that we would put him in for some time. We've had him outside. We've done a couple of things. If we were to do a walk, we would bring him with us, but it's not the kind of setting. And I'm this will come out the wrong way, and someone will hear in Harrisburg. I would not bring him into Harrisburg right now unless it was for a specific reason, a specific time, and a specific place. There's too many variables. And I'm not saying that against anyone in Harrisburg. I'm just saying because of medically, that's just not going.
Right. No, if completely right. Understand. I feel that. Yeah. It's absolutely.
And we would.
Well, your other son, you have two children.
Yes,
right?
We have two. Roy is our oldest, and he is the one with the immune compromised medical condition. Seamus's birthday is in a couple of days.
Oh. So
we're excited. He turns one. So we're excited. Jason was talking a little bit about the city, and I'm going to say this lovingly as well. Harrisburg City has lots of diversity. So it's very diverse. So there's lots of things going on in and around. We're talking about places to eat and everything. It is best though to stay in the approximate area. When some people come into an area and say, let me explore the city, I would not recommend I would not recommend that at
probably not a good idea to just go out alone.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
So if we have members coming into the city with friends, family, etc., that who are sighted, it is best to go, if they're going out in a specific area, to go and have someone with them. So I like to say there's a street called Market Street in Harrisburg. You do not want to say, hey, let me go down the street because that seems interesting it's by the train station. So if you go one way, you go towards the center of the city near the Capitol and everything. If you go another way, say, oh, this sounds interesting, let me take a walk, you're going into the area that is very empty, abandoned, they're trying to do a lot of stuff with. So that's an area you wouldn't want to walk down.
Right.
May sound interesting.
Yeah.
So let's take a walk. But it's not an area that you just want to, if you don't know anything about it, you don't want to walk down there. So
gotcha.
I would just say, stay with the convention, do lots of stuff in and around the convention. There's fun places, lots of places. We have a river, so you can all, if you can get directions there, we have the Susquehanna River, which has benches and a park area. So it is, there is a lot of area to walk around in that area, the Front Street area or Front Street Park, lots of fun places to get outside and walk around.
Okay.
There's a City Island as well. They have stuff going on there, but again, that's another place I would say, if you're not familiar with the area, you should have someone who is.
Gotcha. And as far as coming from the train station, recommend walking to the hotel or better to get a ride share?
No, ride. See, I answered that very quickly for you. No, I'm being very polite about this. I would not, right? If you're not,
Okay.
Just no. I'm so glad we're having this conversation, and I appreciate your frankness and your honesty. And I hope folks are taking heed.
They're gonna say, look what he's saying about the no. I would definitely do rideshare.
Okay.
If you're taking the train, I love that train station. I love Amtrak, the train area. Before I was more in this area, I would travel from Virginia in, you know, the Williamsburg, Newport News area, from there to back to Harrisburg for trips to visit, you know, what was my fiance at the time and her family and everything. And that trip was great. The train station is very nice. It is accessible. And the people there are very accommodating. It's not large like Philadelphia, but it is large in the sense that there's a lot of stuff, but not always lots of stuff, a lot of people there. It is best to just simply ask for assistance. If you get to the train and say, I'm looking for this place, they will give you some directions. Just do the ride share from there to
You know,
it is easy to get lost.
It's funny that you mentioned that because during the Camp Hill convention, I got off the train at, 4 or 5 o'clock. And I was standing, I took a picture because I'm listening and there was nobody in there. Yeah. And, you know, being used to either 30th Street Station in Philadelphia or Penn Station in New York, or even Penn Station in Baltimore, you know, where it's always hustling and bustling. I mean, I felt like I was the only one in there. Yeah. And I know occasionally I would hear some footsteps and, you know, I basically had to wait because I didn't know. I'm like, which door do I want to go out? Do I want to go out that way? Do I want to go out? Because I heard, you know, I only heard a couple of people. So I didn't even know where to go to get, you know, if I ordered an Uber or wanted to look for a taxi stand, you know, which door do I even need to go? There wasn't, you know, some of the stores were closed at that point. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. You know, I felt like, you know, I'm thinking I was in the Twilight Zone. I'm, you know, it's rush hour and, you know, there's nobody here.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and I felt like it was midnight. That.
And you can't have, it can be like that there. So that's why find some help when you get there. If you can, you're taking the train, but definitely do not try to venture out. Even if you have assistance with any type of app to say, mm-hmm. this will help me walk there. Please do not. Okay. Because I'm being very polite about this. The last thing anyone wants to do is say, let me try to do this with my app, go here. And then you are about 5 blocks away near a park and no one, and you have no idea where to go.
Yeah.
You are going to be stuck there. And I'm going to say this politely, you'll be stuck there and no one around there is going to help you. They're going to say, oh, wait, you go down. I'm pointing in a direction here. You go down that way. Just keep on walking. Because
yeah, like we can't see that. I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. And I'm just saying is that you can go, if you get lost in a certain area, it's like gonna say, oh, hey, well, you know, just go down that way. Or you use a cane. Well, you know, I knew a blind guy once, you know, then they'll talk about some guy they knew 25 years ago. So it's it is best to use a ride if you're taking the train on, and it's at Market Street. They can help you in some ways. One thing I've learned with Amtrak coming to Harrisburg is I put notes in the my ticket.
Okay.
And what I've done is I put notes on the ticket. Passenger is blind. Passenger use white cane, etc. They'll usually put me in certain areas if they don't have a certain spot in the on the train. I will let them know. I said, can someone help me please find, I need to get a ride share. Can someone help me out?
Mm-hmm.
They have been in the past very accommodating as long as I put the notes in. Sometimes if I don't put the note in and I get someone's attention, they will do the same, but it's usually good because then they will have someone help. I've had that happen when I was going from 30th Street in Philly to Harrisburg back and forth for Virginia. And that helped, that usually helped a lot.
And, you know, I can also add as far as putting it in there's a way to, when you buy your ticket, if you haven't already purchased the ticket, going to Harrisburg, there's an easy way to, click that, and you get a discount if you do it. So it, you know, it really is helpful in two ways.
Yeah, yes.
You can put down, you get an automatic 10% discount. And then, obviously when they see your ticket, whether it's on the train, I know whenever somebody scans my ticket, they'll see the blind thing and they'll say, hey, do you need assistance when you get off? And usually when I get off, I don't need assistance if it's a place that I've been to before, you know, Philly, New York, Baltimore, but, you know, obviously Harrisburg would be a different story. You know, and like most folks, you know, most places, you know, I follow the crowd until I get to the main, you know, area of the train station and then figure out from there. And again, not familiar with the Harrisburg train station that much. In fact, that last time I was there was the only time I was there. So, you know, it is helpful. And again, if you put that on your ticket, when they do scan it, when you're on the train, they'll say, oh, okay. You know, do you need some help? Or, you know, and sometimes, you know, if you've got a lot of luggage, you'll need some help maybe, And, you know, so that's helpful. So if you haven't booked your train ticket, like myself, take a look for that discount. And, you know, it does ask if you're blind, it asks if you're using a guide dog and so forth. You know, also makes it, you know, like I said, very helpful with, you know, when they scan your ticket, when you get on the train, wherever you're getting on at.
Yes. I love that feature with the app and the ticket. So yes, that is definitely helpful. And they do watch for that. So when it's on there, I've used that and I have never really had a problem with someone missing that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Awesome. Right. Well, I am excited, and I don't know about anybody else out there, if you've been kind of on the fence about attending this year's convention in person. Hopefully Tim and Jason got you kind of pushed you toward coming in person and seeing some of the diversity. Actually, Tim, I'm glad you said that about Harrisburg. I don't know why, when I think of Harrisburg, I don't think of diversity. So thank you for that.
Well, there's lots of things to be said of Harrisburg, but yeah, it is very diverse. There is lots of things, and yeah, it is a very interesting place. That's, you know, great. All things aside about saying don't go out in certain areas, it's because it's like any city,
yeah,
in most occasions, especially if you're not familiar with it. Mm-hmm. But it is, there's lots of diversity, there's lots of fun things, and it's a definitely an interesting place to visit and live.
Yes.
I don't live there anymore. I live across the river, but yeah, it's definitely an interesting place.
Great. Well, guys, thanks so much for spending time with us and kicking off our pre-convention blitz of podcasts. Like I said, I hope folks out there are more excited and really looking forward to how Harrisburg does it. David, you got any final thoughts?
No, it's, you know, I've always been excited about going because I'm happy to get out of the house and, you know, go someplace, especially, you know, downtown Harrisburg, where, you know, Camp Hill was a couple years ago, but a little bit different because we were across the river and not, you know, not close to restaurants where you could step out of the hotel and walk a couple doors down. So, you know, looking forward to that now with the caveats that Tim mentioned, you know, just looking forward to getting together with folks that, you know, we haven't been around for quite a while, you know, since 2019, because I didn't go last year, and, you know, to Pittsburgh. So looking forward to it, and more information is available. If you're still on the fence, you want to check it out more, nfbp.org/convention. You can find out all the information there, where to book your room and all that sort of stuff. And just a good time to get involved and learn a lot of stuff happening in the blind community, whether it's technology or advocacy. And, you know, I know, again, I'm looking forward to going. Jason and Tim, thank you so much, getting us excited for the convention in a few weeks. And like Lisa said, looking forward to it, and looking forward to meeting you guys in person and talking then.
Yeah, same here. Looking forward to meeting you guys. Thanks again, and see you in Harrisburg.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
It was our pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Jason and Tim for coming on and giving us a lot of great information about Harrisburg and what's coming up in the convention this year, Lisa.
Yeah, I love that Tim was so honest about it's a great city, but you have to exercise, I guess, the same common sense kind of caution you would in any other city that you've never been to before.
Right. And just interesting to hear, too, about, as I was saying, you know, during the interview about the train station and, you know, maybe you can walk from there, and Tim recommended not doing that, and Jason as well. So a lot of great information. I know I'm looking forward to it. I guess not enough to go and buy my train ticket yet, but hopefully now that I've listened to Tim and Jason, I'm ready to go, and I'll make that call tonight or go online and buy that train ticket. Again, remember to use the codes when you put in. There is a drop-down menu, and I don't know how great it is on with VoiceOver, but there is a drop-down menu where you can put down that you are blind. And the reason you want to do this, not because you're blind, but because you save 10%. I mean, I guess it helps that they now know that you're blind, but you do save 10% on that. And I know Denise Brown had sent out a coupon code. I couldn't get that to work. And that's why I haven't bought my ticket yet, because I keep trying and I was, still trying and I just haven't been able to use that. That code is V819. If you want to give it a go, I may call before I do the reservations online just to give it a whirl, see if I can get it done via the phone. But again, if you don't use that and that doesn't work for you, you can always just use the standard 10% disability discount, which then will note to the conductor that you are blind, and they will also ask if you need help when you get off the train. And again, it is like a ghost town in that train station, at least when I was there, you know, during rush hour a few years ago. So, you know, it would be very helpful for someone at least to point you to an exit that you can get out and either get a cab or, you know, an Uber or Lyft. Yeah.
Great advice. Hope you are excited, just as excited as we are about convention this year and being in person again. I mean, it's great that we can even plan these things in person again. So until then, see you next episode.
Thanks for listening. Take care, everyone.